From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences his second message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly declaring his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. To whom be glory forever. Amen. To whom be glory forever. This should be the single desire of the Christian. All other wishes must be subservient and tributary to this one. The Christian may wish for prosperity in his business, but only so far as it may help him to promote this. To him be glory forever. He may desire to attain more gifts and more graces, but it should only be that to him may be glory forever. You are not acting as you ought to do when you are moved by any other motive than a single eye to your Lord's glory. As a Christian, you are of God and through God. Then live to God. Let nothing ever set your heart beating so mightily as love to him. Let this ambition fire your soul. Be this the foundation of every enterprise upon which you enter, and this your sustaining motive whenever your zeal would grow chill. Make God your only object. Depend upon it, where self begins, sorrow begins. But if God be my supreme delight and only object, to me 'tis equal whether love ordain my life or death, appoint me ease or pain. Let your desire for God's glory be a growing desire. You blessed him in your youth. Do not be content with such praises as you gave him then. Has God prospered you in business? Give him more as he has given you more. Has God given you experience? Praise him by stronger faith than you exercised at first. Does your knowledge grow? Then sing more sweetly. Do you enjoy happier times than you once had? Have you been restored from sickness? And has your sorrow been turned into peace and joy? Then give him more music. Put more coals and more sweet frankincense into the censer of your praise. Practically in your life give him honor, putting the amen to this doxology to your great and gracious Lord, by your own individual service and increasing holiness.
Will be my love, will guide me, I will go.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Today, Dr. Cairns begins the sixth in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ as found in the Gospel of John. On seven occasions in this Gospel, the Lord Jesus used of Himself that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. This message focuses on John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. The text is verse 25, where Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Once again, in the midst of great sorrow, Christ clearly declared His divinity. Here is another instance of the Lord Jesus using circumstances to reveal Himself. As we'll see in the course of the message, Christ's power over death left no doubt that He was Jehovah. And now, to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This morning, I'll be directing your attention to the statement of the Savior in verse 25 of John's Gospel, chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord Jesus once asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? They gave him a variety of answers that they had heard among the common people. Some said he was John the Baptist. Others said he was Elias. Some even came up with the idea that he was Jeremiah. Or generally, there was this feeling he must be one of the prophets. It's interesting that having seen and heard so much, they were all wrong. Those were the opinions of men. Then the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And before any of them could say a word, Peter launched into an answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus told him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, this was a God-directed answer, and therefore absolutely true. What is equally true, however, is that the disciples, including Peter, had very little idea as to what those words really meant. What was involved in the answer is something that seemed to escape even the speaker on that occasion. And you'll find that as you go on in the narrative. So, thus far we have got the true and the false among men's ideas of Christ. It remains, therefore, to find out what did he have to say about himself. Critics have often charged that the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself as nothing more than a mere man, a good man, an especially blessed man, a greatly used man, a very wise man, but still just a man. These critics allege, in fact, various schools of criticism have grown up around this notion. They allege that it was only later that the disciples of Christ evolved the notion of his deity, and they began to encrust the simple narratives of his perfectly natural existence, life and work and death indeed, with the mythical trappings of supposed deity and supernatural power. That is the claim of the critics. Obviously, then, it is of paramount importance to find out what the Lord Jesus had to say about himself. And thankfully, he has left us in absolutely no doubt. In the Gospel of John, as I have been pointing out these past Sabbath mornings, the Lord Jesus Christ makes a series of great I am statements. You recollect that the term I am was adopted by Jehovah as his own unique divine title. Sending Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told him, go and tell them, I am, hath sent me. And that was his incommunicable title. There are other names that are given to God that are equally used of false gods, the word God itself being the chief example, both in Hebrew, in Greek, and in English. The word God is used indiscriminately of the true God and of false gods. But the great I am is uniquely God, the true and living God. And so when the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8 says, "Before Abraham was, I am," and I'm not now going to go over what we studied in looking at that text, he is stating who he is in terms that no Bible believer can ever doubt. Jesus is Jehovah. That is his statement. Now, filling out that statement, the Lord Jesus gives seven statements. I am. And then he says what he is. And as you look at these, you'll find that they give you a glorious insight into his being and into his mission. Each of these I am statements describes his nature, describes his prerogatives, his perfections, and his power. In each case, it's very interesting to see how the Lord Jesus takes the circumstances in which he was currently engaged and relates the revelation to the circumstances and vice versa. For example, we read in John chapter 6 how he fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He took the loaves and he broke and he gave and he kept on giving. That mighty act of creation taking place in the very hands of the Lord Jesus. But as soon as he had done that, he went on to preach. And having broken that bread, he said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 8, we read how he penetrated the hypocritical darkness of the Pharisees who brought to him the woman taken in adultery, while all the time hiding their own sin and probably in their midst hiding the very adulterer whom they had taken with the woman. He exposed their dark hypocrisy and then immediately went on to say, "I am the light of the world." In John 9 and into John 10, we find him denouncing false pastors, those pastors who cast out of the synagogue the blind man whom Jesus had healed for no other crime other than that he would not agree with them to curse the Christ who had healed him. They cast him out of the synagogue. So exposing false shepherds who ravaged the flock, the Lord Jesus went on to say, "I am the door of the sheep." In other words, instead of throwing out believers, I give them admission to God and his grace. And then he said, in contrast to the shepherds of Israel, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In John chapter 14, he talks about his impending death. And then about his going, "Whither I go, ye know." He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." He was going to God, and he was going to heaven. "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And immediately Jesus said, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life." During the Last Supper, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And having done so, he gave them the fruit of the vine, and he said, I will no more drink of this until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He was speaking about the vine and its fruit. And as he then led them over the Kidron on the way to those horrendous hours in the darkness of Gethsemane, what did he say to them? "I am the true vine. Ye are the branches." And now in chapter 11, faced with death, desolation, bereavement, People saying, could not this man, who has done so many miracles, could not this man have caused that even his friend Lazarus would not have died? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You'll remember the story behind that. I think it's so well known, I need not take your time in going into all the details. This family was one that Jesus loved, Lazarus and his two sisters. Their home was his home. All they had, I think you could honestly say, was devoted to him. They loved him. They worshipped him. And as you can see from the words of Martha, they recognized him to be the Christ of God, the very Son of the Most High. Jesus heard that his friend was sick and apparently did nothing about it. That's a trial of faith. Some of you are going through that trial of faith right at this very time, when it appears that the Savior who cares for you does nothing about it. That's what happened. He didn't come. He told his disciples, Lazarus indeed has died, and now we'll go. By the time they got there, he'd been buried 4 days, corrupting already in the hot climate there. Martha naturally comes. And there is, I think, a complaint here. Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. That's great faith, you know. It's easy to complain about Martha and criticize her, but that was great, great faith. If you'd been here, he would not have died. But you weren't here. And when Jesus said, thy brother shall rise, she just fell back upon the faith of every Orthodox Jew and said, I know there's a resurrection coming. I believe that. I know he's going to rise again. And then Jesus made this wonderful statement. Martha, the resurrection is not just an isolated future event. I am the resurrection and the life. There are two parts to that statement, the resurrection and the life. But it's one indivisible statement. Some people, many great commentators, would take the view it means I am the resurrection of the body, I am the life of the soul. Those things are true, but they are not the whole truth. I think it's better simply to say here that the Lord Jesus, because of who he is, he says that he's the giver, the sustainer of all life in his people, whether it's physical, spiritual, or eternal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.